Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
Look at here.
Andre!
The China!
WrestleMania!
Hulkamania is running wild!
My God, what a
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eat, Sleep, List, your one-stop shop for everything list-making here at the network, BICBP-radio.com. I am the host for the day. Get to give myself that moniker, as is my topic of choice, which we are all very pumped to do. But let's get to the most important things. Let's welcome my friends. First and foremost, the founder, creator of the show, Matt Johnson. Hey, buddy.
What you gonna do, brother, when Madamania comes listing on you?
Yeah.
I just threw it together.
I love
drink
it.
Drink my beer.
I'm great at ad lib. It's my thing to do. And the high flying man himself, the man of the hour, Dan Torres.
Listen, I could go for a pun here. But I can simply just say wrestling related. I made a real good list when it came to today. And you guys are making the list with me, but not on my list this week, thankfully.
I got you. I didn't know where you were going with it, but now I know. Now I get you.
Mm-hmm. One of the best gimmicks ever from Chris Jericho. Ever, ever, ever. List gimmick is amazing.
It is. I knew so many people who had the clipboard. They bought the metal clipboard because they sold it as merch.
It's so good. Like, so simple, so easy, but things catch fire, which is awesome.
Wait till the Eat Sleep List YouTube show comes off and I start selling notepads with the damn logo on it.
Just Eat Sleep List on every page for $20.
Yep. Every single one of them.
I'm with it. I'm with it.
I love it. Well, yes, we are here doing a wrestling-themed list for you because it is the week of WrestleMania. As three lovers of the sport, I'm calling it a sport, and y'all have to deal with it. As lovers of the sport, we felt compelled to contribute this week, right? And I had pitched this a few weeks ago. It was an easy sell to the boys. So here we are to make our list of the top 10 reasons we still love wrestling. It's still real to me, damn it.
It is. It forever will be. Yeah, just some additional commentary on the topic. I mean, I've said a couple times to Brian directly in the group chat just how much I love this subject. It's different because there are so many lists we can do with wrestling, right? And we have made a ton of lists that are based on wrestling. We've done matches. I did a WrestleMania one. We've done our favorite wrestlers, tag teams, Survivor Series teams. I think me and Dan did that before. This is much more from the heart. I feel. I think it'll be really cool for those who listen to find maybe some relatability. But we actually legit get to talk about like our feelings on professional wrestling. Now, like with this episode, it's not just, what are your favorite this, favorite that. There's legit, we're pouring our love and passion for the sport during its own Super Bowl weekend, basically. This was an excellent choice by you, Brian.
Thank you, sir. No, yeah, it wasn't because my story is different than you guys, I think, where I've had more in the scene, out of the scene moments of my life, a lot of peaks and valleys, as it were, of my fandom with wrestling. And I'm currently at a new, I want to say new high, but a new devotion to excitement and love of the entertainment sport that is wrestling. So I know, and it's tied to you guys, and trust me, that's going to come up later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do have – it is cool because we all have different connections with it. And, you know, I was really glad to be part of Brian's first live wrestling show. You know, Dan's been in and around the business of wrestling around here and has great friends that are still in it today. you know, and basically myself the same. We all have a different connection, so I think it's going to be fun to watch how the our connections to the to wrestling reflect in our lists.
Yeah, 100%. I have a lot to say. I think most of my list will speak for itself, so I'm trying to reserve it for the actual topic because I feel like I'm going to cover a lot in this one.
Absolutely.
So I guess it's on me to say, boys, you ready to make a list?
Let's do it.
Let's make a list.
Let's start off with Dan here. Dan, your number 10 reason that you still love wrestling.
So this is one that's very specific. So this is why it's my number 10. But Matt will understand exactly what I mean with this one. And it's the good match feeling. It's the feeling of planning something with someone, going over spots, having everything go off without a hitch, even some things in it that sometimes will go wrong, but you end up pulling it off to be something maybe better than it was. But just that feeling afterwards of going out and knowing, okay, we nailed that. Like, that was really good. Like, that was something really, really special. I've had that feeling with a couple of people. I worked Ryan Ragnarok in New Jersey, and I felt like that afterwards because he was very much my style. And I felt like we worked really, really well as a unit together. And then every time I've worked Kevin, it's just been like it's been like dancing, basically. Like, we just know exactly where we're going. We flow really, really well with each other's styles. Kevin could have a good match with a pair of pants, like, seriously. But just that feeling of going to the back after and that adrenaline and that, like, getting the right reactions from the crowd, it's a feeling that's indescribable. And there's not a lot of industries that can make you feel that, which is, it was a nice parallel to the theater world that I really enjoyed about both of them. Absolutely. But yeah, that feeling is my number 10.
Excellent.
Well, the personal side that you guys have to it is definitely adds a whole new emotion to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're good, Matt. There's so much personal stuff connected to this. It'll probably be a really emotional list for me, actually, this week. I think a lot of stuff is going to come up that I'm not going to really expect to hit me the way it does. But, like, there's such a deep love for wrestling. It's such a complicated relationship because I've seen it tear so many people apart, and I've seen it bring so many people so many good things. Like, the best things. Like, I've seen the highest highs and the lowest lows from it. So, but it's the matches, when you get feelings like that, you understand why people.
I get you, yeah. Matt, you're number 10.
All right. So my number 10 is basically because the history of it is so complex. You know, the three of us, we love history. All right. We have different appreciations for history. When I love something, when I fall in love with something, some form of entertainment or whatever it may be, I want to know the history of it. And pro wrestling's history is so, like, interesting. Starting off in the carnival days, where people would challenge legit shooters in the catch-as-catch-can style of wrestling and try to beat them for prize money. And these wrestlers would just beat the piss out of people. All the way to finding ways to make it more from an entertainment spectacle. There is so much information out there when it comes to the history of professional wrestling, whether it's news articles, whether it's podcasts, whether it's video. Like, you can go sit watch on YouTube right now. There's matches from the 50s and even earlier than that. And it's so cool to see the evolution of professional wrestling over the years, how far it's come from where it was. And just, I don't know, just trying to understand it, just trying to just, like, I don't know, just soak it all in. There's, it's a lot of it is useless knowledge at this point, but it is always cool that, you know, just the amount of history that's there. There's so many different wrestling promotions, wrestlers, wrestling championships, and so on and so forth. So that's really why – that's a big reason I had to have that on the list.
I love that.
Thank you.
Me too.
I wish I knew more history.
So got a lot of good podcasts I can recommend to you, and I'd be more than happy to at the conclusion of the show. I'm actually going to kind of mention one of them. He brings it up sometimes, but there's a lot of inside stuff, insider stuff too. But I'll be happy to push some your way.
Yeah,
a lot of fun stuff to learn about, and you'd be surprised. I'm still learning stuff every single day about stuff I thought I knew. So
okay.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that too. One of the things that benefited me is I was still going to, which, like, shout out your local libraries. Make sure you're supporting your local libraries when you go to this, because I really need to get a library card and start going back to these things. But when I discovered professional wrestling, I went back and I read every single book that I could find on pro wrestlers and, like, different pro wrestling things. So I kind of covered the bases I didn't know for the most part, and I started just bulking up. And the way my brain just soaks things up, it was easy to absorb. But there's a lot to it. There's a lot of things that that go into the history because it's so deep.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, actually, my next entry, when we get to my number 9, I'll be able to list off some and put you in the right direction, Bri.
Okay, cool. All right, my number 10 is simple, and it's the sarcastic jerk in me that enjoys it. But I found that I'm not the only one that enjoys it when I was watching the Royal Rumble last year with the watch party, and our good friend Will Smith also enjoys these. And it's simple as this, botches. I love a botch. I love it so much, and it wasn't something that I probably picked up on as a kid, but now as a 41-year-old man who is watching the sport, if you don't appreciate the amount of ability that these athletes have, and then also when they can be so human, and that everything's live, you only get one chance, mm-hmm. and sometimes it don't go right, I love it. And I'll laugh, but at the same time, that's because I appreciate when they pull off something, when they execute something so well. It's the reason that I'm such a huge, big Logan Paul fan right now, because that guy just consistently executes at such a ridiculously high level. And I don't know how he does it, because he's not one that's grown in the sport. You know, he's an outsider that has made his way in this professional world. It's amazing. So, but botches are fun. Botches are silly sometimes, and the recoveries from botches, the saving a person from when they botch, and then, you know, from personal injury, you know, a lot of times when somebody botches and, like, they put themselves in a bad spot, you know, I watch a lot of these amateur videos now on the reels, and I
see all the indie stuff.
Oh God, there's some horror, like the tables when the guy tries to roll off the table and the guy coming off the top, you know, top turnbuckle, and the table flips and it goes sideways and he gets
that one a couple months ago.
Oh, it's brutal.
Did you ever see the guy? I think it was a 450 splash. He landed right on the top of his head and bent his neck. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
And then he was out. Also, it's sad to watch, like, hear that, but there's a lot of bad stuff. There's people jumping off very tall things and missing tables completely and just smacking concrete floors.
Those ones are awful.
Brian, have you ever heard of botchamania?
No.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask you the same thing. Brian, it's going to change your fucking life.
Yes.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes. It is a YouTube channel. It has been going on for at least 11 or 12 years. I don't know if it's weekly or how often, but they'll gather clips that they find and just show people making mistakes. And it is some of the, like, promo mistakes, in-ring mistakes. There's probably well over 1,000 videos of botchamania. So I would highly invite you, if you get some time, to go watch it. I think you'd be amazed at some of
the
stuff.
And the thing you would love too. So Matthew, the producer of the channel, he's been the guy who runs it forever. He's a huge Simpsons guy. So he does so many like Simpsons into wrestling like tie-ins, like all the time. Like he uses clips from them all the time. There are all these inside jokes, like when a table doesn't break for a guy at the end of it, they'll use, usually it's Metallica's lead singer going, "I am the table." Which is just a thing that wrestling fans say now. If you know the show, it'll change your life.
All right. I'll just check it out. I'm glad so many other people enjoyed.
Yes.
Very good.
All right. On to our number nines, Dan.
My number nine. I'm going to go with the announcers here at the number nine. So I feel like good pro wrestling announcers make or break a show. If you're at home and you're watching and they have no life and no energy, like, you know, Jim Ross now is like, he's just getting old. And as much as I love him, it's like the energy's not in his voice anymore. And he's just going through the routine. But man, when you listen to him and King call Raw in the late 90s, you get so into it, even with how annoying King is. King's always been so damn annoying. But like,
puppies,
still, like, even some of his stuff, like when he would scream "Look out!" when people would land, like all those things. But my era, I grew up on Michael Cole and Taz, and like their commentary on SmackDown was always, Taz was a little insane at all times, but they got you so into it. Like, they were so locked into the shows at all times. And the announcers, some of the crazy things they say, even now with McAfee and how, like, ridiculous he is sometimes, he's perfect for that because he's such a damn goofball. But those personalities can be really good for your show. And they're one of my favorite things about wrestling in general. So the announcers are.
Yeah. And WWE, probably specifically, has transcended so much into pop culture that you don't even have to know a wrestling fan. But when you hear, "By God, it's Kane, you know what I mean? Like, everyone knows exactly what that is. You know, people use it over and over, like, for different characters and from different shows.
There's so many good quotables. All the time I'll just be like, "It was me, Austin, oh, son of a bitch."
"That Triple H, he dashed that damn son of a bitch."
I know, he hated on Triple H big time.
Oh yeah, it was some elite level commentary, man. JR so and King, good. Voice of a generation.
Yes, commentating is what I meant.
Rather than love dancing. It.
But yes, that's what I meant.
You're number nine, Matt.
All right, my number nine are the podcasts. I have one that I love more than others, and I know he gets a lot of flack, but I love Jim Cornette. I think he's so damn entertaining. He's hilarious. He's very, maybe overly critical sometimes of professional wrestling, but he's a wealth of knowledge. He's legit, like, the perfect person to listen to from a history perspective. Bri, if you ever come across his channel, search up Jim Cornette. He does a game with his co-host Brian Last called Guess the Program, which is really neat. Where his co-host will read off a bunch of matches, and he can guess what year, roughly what city, and whatnot, and what he kind of narrows it down with that, which is pretty cool. But there's other ones too. Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard is a really nice one. JBL's been co-hosting now, and he's really good on it. But it's nice hearing these behind the scenes stories. Like, the Bruce Pritchard stuff is really good because, I mean, he's been doing it for years. He goes back very, very far. He was basically a producer for Vince McMahon from the early days of the WWF really being popular. So he has behind the scenes stories on certain wrestlers and certain events. So I look up that one. There's clips on YouTube, which are pretty easily digestible. But they're also on Apple and Spotify. My World with Jeff Jarrett's pretty good because he has a different experience. He has stuff from WCW, Attitude Era WWF. growing up in Memphis because his dad was a pretty famous promoter. And I think the other one that I would recommend is Jim Ross's podcast, Grilling with JR. That's a really good one, too. He's an open book, probably a little bit more open than any of the others, and brutally honest with his stuff. But all of them work with this guy, Conrad Thompson, he does a good job. I'll just say that. He does a good job organizing and keeping him on track. But, yeah, some, a lot of good stuff between those four podcasts that I mentioned.
Okay. Damn. He gave me, like, thousands of hours of stuff to listen to, I think.
Hundreds of thousands of hours, my friend. There is so much out there. Like, it's great because I have YouTube Premium, so I don't even have to have my phone open to watch or listen to videos. And most of my workday is listening to all four of those shows.
Yeah. The other recommendation I have besides those one is Insight with Chris Van Vliet. He hasn't been around as long as a lot of these other guys. His interviews are fantastic.
That's the only one I subscribe to.
He lets these wrestlers talk. Like really, really, really lets them like tell their stories a lot of times and ask great lead-in questions. Yeah. But he never takes over the podcast. Sometimes people will ask him things, and that's the only time where he'll like talk more is when like they genuinely invite him into the conversation.
Where he actually like turns into the encyclopedia of knowledge that he has about wrestling.
Correct. Yeah. He knows a lot about.
He reminds me of Ariel Helwani.
Yes.
Yeah, he does remind me.
Which, if you don't know, that's an MMA guy and a diehard Bills fan, so he's good in my book.
Yeah, he's kind of a weasel, but he's funny.
He's all right.
He says sometimes, and this is going off topic a little bit, but sometimes Ariel will try and ask questions to, like, pick at things a little bit. Like, he tries to stir the pot a little bit sometimes. And like, I catch him doing it at times. And Daniel Cormier used to host a show with him, and he'd call him out on it when he did it all the time. And that's one of the things I loved about DC is he'd be like, Ariel, you're doing it again. You just did it. You just like, you said, you don't try to incite people, but here you go. Like, you're trying to do this right now. But yeah, diehard Bills fan, and he's a big pro wrestling fan, so he's definitely good.
All right, my number nine is gonna be simple, and I'll see if you guys can play a little game with me real quick.
Oh yes,
crazy characters. I don't normally root for them, but I look forward to the crazy characters. This era of wrestling seems to have killed off that a little bit, so I kind of miss it. But like. I think of just outrageous characters, immediately I go to Goldust. Immediately.
Yeah.
Of just like, you could not get away with what they made that character out of. They weaponized homophobia into a character, which is the most bizarre concept. And I didn't like it then because he made me feel weird. And I don't like it now. For just how bigoted it comes off as, you know what I mean? And knowing Vince McMahon and the terrible person he is, it's obvious not that he came up with the character, but like the way that he was like willing to like just like keep pushing the boundaries all the time.
He actually hated it. He hated how far that Dustin would go, because there was one time, I forget, he did something with the Undertaker and he like touched his crotch. And I guess Vince said, you got to like cut that shit off. You're going to get me like off the channels. Well, so yeah. there was some creative freedom that Vince allowed, but that was all Dustin Rhodes, Runnels pushing the bar. Did you ever see the clip of him on like Conan in the like 90s, like mid to late 90s or something?
Yeah. In character.
Yeah, oh, it's so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Poor Conan.
So I want to hear some of your guys' favorite zany characters.
Oh, my God. You just made me, like, laugh my ass off just thinking about Goldust and, like, some of the, like, the random stupid shit, like, when he would do, like, the all the time, like, all that stupid, airy shit that he would do. Oh my God, my favorites. I so Boogeyman will always be one of my favorite, like, this shouldn't work, why the hell is it working type of people. Because he very obviously, like, but he was kind of genuinely creepy a little
Oh,
bit. Like,
yeah.
and it worked for that reason. The man came out and smoked, smashed a clock on his head, did like a little voodoo dance while the pyro went off, and then would eat worms. Like,
Yeah.
just crazy, crazy, crazy gimmick that shouldn't have worked but did. But I think one of my favorite gimmicks of all time, which it obviously wasn't gonna get him to a world championship, but Simon Dean is one of my favorite just gimmick characters of all time because he was such a goofball and he jobbed to so many people, but in turn, he worked so many people because he was such a good worker. Like, he was a good, solid, like, you need something to fill your mid card real quick. Like, you throw him in there. He had the stupid. Do you know who Simon Dean is,
I don't
Brian? So,
know.
Simon Dean was the first, like, pyramid scheme guy. Like, that's really Matt. That's what he was, right? Like, he
So
really
he like
looked.
sold like these fake workout supplements
Like
and
these fake workout supplements,
it's
he'd
so
come out
good.
on a Segway down to the rig. He had this cheesy theme that sounded like a telemarketing ad.
Think Ben Stiller in Dodgeball kind of or Heavyweights
No. Okay. Yeah.
yeah
Or that Fat Camp movie
yeah
kind of like that, like a cross between those two roles.
It's yeah, it was brutal. But he would come out and he'd be like, "People, my name is Simon Dean, and I am here to sell my patented Simon system." And he'd just like try and sell these wrestlers on a pitch before the match started, and they would obviously just beat his ass like the entire time or whatever. Like, he'd get a punch or two in, but that was it. Like, that's all he got. But just the best thing ever that I remember is the WrestleMania 22 Battle Royal that they did at the beginning. It used to be Raw versus SmackDown, and one brand would win at the end of it. Like, one person from the brand would win, and that brand would win the Battle Royal. And he was there, they're on the division lines for the Battle Royal, and he comes walking to the middle of it with a mic and just goes, "People, my name is Simon Dean." And before he could finish the ad, Snitsky just runs up and hits him with this big boot from hell and just tosses him over the top rope. And it was just like, just these brilliant, stupid things that I'll always remember because he sold it so well. So that's one of my favorites. Matt, I'll stop talking and let you start.
You're good. I mean, obviously, Taker, Undertaker, Kane, Mankind, those are some of the classics, but like Outrageous. Like, I loved Mantar. Papa Shango was one
Yes.
of my absolute favorites. The mid 90s had some great ones. The Goon, who did a hockey thing,
Oh my God, the
Abe
goon.
Knuckleball Schwartz, Bastion Booger. Like, there's so many ridiculous ones. There was a guy that used to wrestle around here, him and his Barry Hardy, used to be with Dwayne Gill, who was Gilbert. They used to be a tag team, and they would have something new every time they'd show up on TV. But one time they dressed up in Ninja Turtle costumes
I
and
remember
competed
this.
against the Toxic Turtles. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Barry Hardy used to be a regular here at Empire State Wrestling. But
Yeah.
his best buddy was Dwayne Gill, a.k.a. Gilbert. And so there was times where they would tag up together. It was great.
I love
So,
it.
yeah.
I saw them both wrestle here when
Yeah.
they did Wrestle Bash.
So
So
good.
good.
Gilbert is that's another like ridiculous one of like, why did he hold the light heavyweight championship for 410 days in the WWE? Like, come on. They gave it to him and then they forgot about it.
I used to love it. My dad it was like my dad didn't like laugh at wrestling a whole lot, but like when he seen that, he absolutely loved it back in the
Oh my
90s.
God, so good. So good.
All right, we are on to our number eight, Dan.
Number eight. Let's just go with. I'm going to go with the common suspension of disbelief here. And that goes with a lot of the gimmicks that we just talked about. So I feel like that's a good transition into that. Obviously, it's scripted. Like, there's the outcomes are staged. I know, man. I just blew Matt's mind. I'm so sorry,
Matt. Don't come back. Come back. Come.
But it's
like, wait, hold on. You mean I didn't really lose wrestling matches when I was doing it? What?
Fucking Brody. God damn it. So there is, the endings are known, but it's like they said, was like the hazards are real. So we know that there's real hazards and that people are putting their bodies and everything on the line for us. And we know sometimes we could predict certain outcomes of how things are going to go. But we all are in it together. Like, we all are believing with these storylines and with how good these gimmicks are. They draw us into this world of, we're going to do a yeah every time this guy comes out. And he's, yeah, his name is L.A. Knight. Like, it's like gimmicky. Yeah, that guy's going to stay there and not try and roll over while this guy's going up to the top turnbuckle slowly. Like, we're suspending our disbelief and we're just enjoying it. That's the thing, is wrestling is meant for, this style at least, is meant for entertainment. So we're trying to enjoy everything together as a unit. And at the end of the day, we're all just there to have a good time. So just believing in the things that we can kind of see coming or, it's just a beautiful thing. I think the suspension of disbelief and just being able to believe in that for a couple hours every week is an awesome thing. So that comes in.
I love it. It's like a key hidden part that's not so hidden.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Very good.
You're number eight, Matt.
My number eight is the guarantee that whether you're watching at home or you're paying to go see it live, you're guaranteed to get your money or time's worth. That's an important thing for me in sports. I was actually talking about this a couple weeks ago on the YouTube show about if, like, my dream, like, or a bucket list item, what would I pick? Super Bowl or WrestleMania? And I chose WrestleMania because I feel like there's a better guarantee that I'm going to feel like at the end of the show, at the end of the event, that I have gotten my money's worth. There's going to be at least a couple good matches. I'm going to be entertained. Where, like, versus a Super Bowl, like, I was, this is the reference I made. The night was Super Bowl 18-19. That was the Rams Patriots one. If that was the one Super Bowl that I paid to go and watch, I would be pissed that I had seen a 13-3 game. Like, I sat there and it was probably one of the most boring Super Bowls of my, or a blowout, like Seahawks and Broncos from 2013. But wrestling is just always guaranteed. Even, like, not to bury UFC, but you could be sitting there for a whole night waiting 3-4 hours to watch a UFC main event that has been hyped up forever, and it could be done like that.
Just a snooze fest.
Just a snooze fest, or it's a quick one-hitter quitter knockout, and that's the end of the fight. And I've seen that.
That used to be every Ronda Rousey paper.
Ronda Rousey, I'll never forget the, when Anderson Silva got knocked out, like, you know what I mean? Like, I stayed up all night for this, or when he broke his leg or whatever. But wrestling is always guaranteed, at least more so now. There was some rough patches where everything was ending in disqualification and whatnot. But if you go and if you're watching a wrestling event, there's gonna be some satisfaction. You're gonna be pretty relatively happy that you spent your time and or money on the event. So so yeah, that's my number eight.
I love that. Yeah, I wonder if I have anything to, like, tie into that. I think that as I'm getting back into wrestling, I start looking forward to the quote unquote pay per views more.
Yes.
And so now, like, we're onto the biggest one, but yeah, I think you're right, Matt. That there's nothing quite like the end product of a solid wrestling event, because and I got a small taste of it with Raw. You know, I mean, that's my only tie-in. It's like just a small, because I've never don't. I mean, I guess the Bills playoff game against the Patriots would be like my closest thing to that. But you know, that could have ended awful. But Patriots suck, so we're good. My number eight is going to be compelling storylines, and it's what drove me for the longest time there during the late '90s when The Rock and Stone Cold and you know DX like in and or I guess a little DX little not, but like when the big four were going like of Triple H and Stone Cold and The Rock, and then I guess the fourth is always like in and out, but those storylines with the tie-ins to the McMahons, and it all seemed, and I was older then, you know, I'm in my late teens, and I'm not gullible as I was as a kid watching Hulk Hogan, you know, fight out of a pin and Hulk up and start like shaking around and getting himself all amped up again. You know, I'm not gullible. I understand what's going on, but at the same time, I looked forward to Monday night so much more every week because it's just like they kept one-upping themselves. And I think they've got a little bit of that back now. I
Oh, yeah.
think they understand of the full-on fandom that people have for these certain wrestlers, and it's paying off big time. And it's not just Cena. Like, Cena's the big storyline, but it's not that. It was the payoff of Cody Rhodes, you know. It's the resurgence of CM Punk. It's acknowledging the true fandoms of you know LA Knight, like Matt, our resident LA Knight, you know, super fan over here. They're paying these guys storylines full force. You know what I mean? It's paying off 100%, and that's what wrestling is now to me. It is coming back for the stories, because without that, you could go to a local show. You know what I mean? And yeah, they have their own storylines, but you know, there's not the huge difference. I think is just the production value between the WWEs and the ESWs. So that's number eight for me.
Excellent, excellent.
Number seven, Dan.
My number seven is, let me see what I got here. Just in general, it's the pageantry of it. It's just so a couple of years ago, I was watching Royal Rumble with all my buddies, and my one friend brought his at the time girlfriend, now fiance, to the Rumble to watch it. And she's not really familiar with pro wrestling. And the entire time when she's watching the walkouts, like of the Rumble and stuff like that, she's going, "This is like RuPaul's Drag Race. Like this is the straight man version of RuPaul's Drag Race." And I was laughing so hard because it is 100% true. Like it is 100% true. Seth Rollins coming out in these elaborate outfits for every pay-per-view and just walking down with this music that he's conducting everybody with. And, you know, Undertaker taking 15 minutes to get to the goddamn ring every time he's getting out there. Like, all these different things, those everything that Rey Mysterio wears to every major pay-per-view where he's like it dressed up as the Joker or Batman or the Flash or Silver Surfer or like going super like Sugar Skull. Like, there's so much pageantry to the shit, but sometimes it looks so damn cool. And
Yes.
sometimes the aura is so cool. Like my favorite in recent memory, and this is something that kind of got to me for a minute when it happened, was when the year Ray gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, he comes out to face Dominic, and he's getting driven out in a lowrider by Snoop Dogg. with nothing but a G thing playing as it's rolling from the back to the ring. And then it crosses the threshold and Eddie Guerrero's theme song starts playing as that goes. And then he gets to the ramp, daps up Snoop Dogg real quick, and then his music plays. And then it gets announced that he's a Hall of Famer for the first time. And it's like moments like that just give you chills. Like those are the things, like those buildups and those, like everything about it is so freaking cool. So the pageantry to wrestling is one of my favorite parts, and it makes it up number seven.
Absolutely. Great choice. I love it. What do they call it? Extra? How extra it could
Oh,
be?
it's
How
so
extra
extra.
people are.
It's so extra. It's the most extra shit on the planet. Like, you can't look at that and not be like, what is this? What are we doing? It's amazing.
Great choice, buddy.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. My number seven, I'm going to go. There's so much gossip that surrounds wrestling too. It's like Mean Girls in high school. I have this one listed as the nonstop gossip slash dirt sheets because there's so much like behind the scenes stuff. Like people legit like I just want to know. People are so, even though they try to suspend disbelief, they also want to know what's going on behind the scenes. These if they can dig any dirt on injuries or behind or how storylines are going to progress. Like I loved one of my favorite parts was last year's WrestleMania, with the Rock trying to come out and take over Cody's spot, and the pushback from the fans, and then it turned into this whole thing, and like Cody. You know, Cody eventually gets his spot back and whatnot. It's this big old this kind of fan revolt in a way, but you wanted to know the dirt about what was going on behind the scenes. Another one of my favorite WrestleManias, WrestleMania 30. You know, it was like, what's going on? CM Punk just left. He just quit WWE. What are the and the fans really want Daniel Bryan? Like, what are their thoughts on Daniel Bryan? Are they going to finally let him get his moment? It's just the nonstop. There's always something in the news. And what also helps is that a lot of wrestlers know that people fall for anything, so they'll play into things. Like Drew McIntyre right now, he is so great at playing into whatever the internet's saying and giving them a little something to kind of just take it and run away with. So nonstop gossip and dirt sheets comes in at seven.
That's an industry term, dirt sheets.
Dirt sheets,
That
yep.
that's what yeah, a lot of the like growing up I used to go on like WrestleZone.com and they've have all sorts of stuff. Like Dave Meltzer has his own thing. There's all sorts of different pro wrestling journalists that are like insiders and they have their own websites that kind of like almost spoil stuff sometimes because
Yeah.
they get there's actually a lot of leaks that happened. People from inside WWE headquarters leak stuff. Like just a couple weeks ago, Kevin Owens announced that he had a neck injury. He wanted to announce it on SmackDown so it was fresh, but somehow it got out. And people knew about it hours before he even got to announce it himself. So yeah, stuff like that. The dirt sheets, that's what they call insider pro wrestling knowledge. I
So
got that.
one of my favorite instances of that on a mass level is, sorry for clearing my throat in the most obnoxious way in that moment. So after the first Rock Cena WrestleMania, so that was what, like 30
28. It was
maybe?
28. It was 28.
28.
Yep.
So after 28, Brock Lesnar came back to the WWE for the first time in like 8 years. He hadn't been there in so long, like probably more than that. I can't remember the exact but Cena was on Raw cutting a promo about his match with Rock and like all this and like saying all this stuff, and it was supposed to be like the big surprise at the end of that was supposed to be Lesnar coming out attacking him, right? So all of a sudden, it's like the fan hype is like the roof is about to blow off the place. And Cena is not mentioning anything about Lesnar or anything like that. There's no mention throughout the show. All of a sudden, at some point, the fans start chanting, Lesnar spotted. Lesnar spotted, because someone on Twitter had pointed out that he had been spotted near the arena and that he was coming at some point. And then, but sometimes it adds to it, because then when he came out, the roof freaking blew off the place. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, that was an instance of it working to a benefit, for sure.
I never got into that stuff. I never knew.
Don't. Don't.
Don't do it. It's an ugly world.
Better just let it happen.
Let it, and you know, just it is better to just not know. You know what I mean? Like, have no expectations going into watching stuff. Like, my mind's shot because I've been in it, and I've been around dirt sheet and insider stuff for over 15 years, well over 50, probably almost 20 years by now. And it takes away from it. I try to distance myself just so it's a better way to enjoy it. It's like going into a movie for the first time and knowing what's going to happen, knowing the ending. You know what I mean? It just takes away from the magic.
Like, I went into Clone Wars, and I knew that Jango Fett was going to lose his head. That was a bummer. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got it spoiled online. It's the only spoiler I've ever had online. I was reading like a screenplay release, early release that got leaked or something like that. And yeah.
So somebody posted a GIF of the Thanos snap or the Iron Man snap for Endgame. The morning that the movie was being released. I was fucking livid.
Yeah. And then the classic the iconic shady tweet.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Jordan's tweet.
Empty-headed dumb fuck. That's what I have to say about that.
Well, Colby Covington used to do that all the time. When a major movie would come out, that was his shtick that's how he got his fame in UFC.
Is that what it was?
Like, all the time, he would just be a troll on Twitter and just attack everybody and, like, do things. So when a major, like, nerd movie would come out, he'd tweet spoilers for it immediately. Like, he'd be that type of cringe clown.
I hope he gets AIDS just for.
God.
He was with he walked out with Hogan a couple weeks ago, so he might have it.
Oh no! This
I don't know what
multiverse Matt.
Like. Yeah.
Multiverse Matt.
Multiverse Matt. Different man here. Yep. Different man.
Who said that?
mine's real. This a lot of my stuff is not going to be very specific. From here on out, I think it's a lot of very generic, but let's just get into it. Finishing moves. It's what brought me into wrestling, I think. It's what still I look forward to. Matt got to see me absolutely freak the hell out.
Yes.
For my favorite wrestler right now, Sol Roca, who got to do the dark match right before Raw kicked off. And I was super hyped to see her, and I said to the boys, I said, if it's her, if she's supposed to win this fastest 3 minutes or whatever they call it, I'm like, you're going to see one of the most electrifying finishing moves in wrestling today. And of course it was she, because she's rising, she, you know, she's like, she's skyrocketing at this point. And she does this amazing flip, and she can pull it off of different points, like mid rope. Off the turnbuckle. That time she pulled it off of turnbuckle, I think.
Yes.
It's a stunner, kind of. It's kind of like a DDT, but she does a flip. She does like a flip and then like lands, and it's insane. So anytime that I see a new finishing move, yes, Dan, you can call it out, but Logan Paul's What is he calling it?
The pulverizer.
The pulverizer is amazing. I've heard other people have done it.
I've never seen it before. Yes, yeah. Matt DeMorris was not the first person to do it either. But I'm just saying, him and Anarchy Andy are owed a lot of royalties from people with the moves that got stolen from them.
Yeah, and it's the silly ones too. It's the Sacco. It's who's the guy that had the snake on his hand?
Oh, Santino. Oh, yeah.
It's all of them. Now,
So good.
Back in my day, they were called finishing moves for a reason. Because when the dude or the gal pulled it off, you knew that was it. That was the end of the match. No one's kicking out of this. And then they got this weird trend where, like, it was cool to kick out of someone's finishing move.
So you need four or five of them to put someone over the way, even though it's a finisher.
I do hate that.
One of my favorite clips now to watch, and I'll still watch it anytime it comes across my reels, is when they kept bringing out the superstars one after another, and it was like The Rock, and then, you know, he gets hit with something, and then he's out, and then it's Stone Cold, and he gets out, and then, like, and then there's Big Show, and they just all keep coming out, and they all keep doing My boy Van Damme got to show up for that, which I was amazed by. Like, even my boy gets a shout out, even though he wasn't like a superstar. Who doesn't love a good finishing move? And really, the high impact, the very creative ones, I put at like a super high bar. So,
yeah, it's a cool, really cool thing when you could see a good ass move like that mark out for it. And that's what. So, I think that brings up the importance of having like a secondary finisher, a secondary finishing move. And that's why it's so important to do that as a pro wrestler, to have something like that. Like, it was such good storytelling when guys like The Undertaker were in there, because he always had Tombstone, The Last Ride, or the Chokeslam that he could go to. Like, he had one of those three that was always. So if he hit you with the Chokeslam and you kicked out, it was like, oh, okay, well, he hasn't hit the Tombstone. Like, if he hits the Tombstone, then it's over. Like, no one's kicking out of it. And that's why when Michaels kicked out of it, it was such a massive, massive deal. Because nobody freaking kicked out of the Tombstone ever. And when Shawn Michaels kicked out of it at 25, there was a moment with people where it was like, the streak is over. Like, it's going to end. Like, nobody kicks out of this shit. It's so cool to have a good finisher.
Did you ever do a list of that?
Finishers? I don't know if we did.
Future list.
It's one to keep in mind.
Yeah.
One to keep in mind.
Oh, for sure.
That's a hard list.
Yeah, that's really a tough one. I have to double check, but even if we haven't done it, or we have done it before, we all haven't done it together. So I'm here for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We are moving on to number six.
Yes. Number six, yes. So I'm going to go with something specific at number six. I'm going to go with Connor the Crusher here. Matt will remember the story for sure, but he was a kid who was diagnosed with a terminal disease, who was around the WWE with Make-A-Wish for a really long time. Like, he just, every event that he could go to, he was backstage, and he ended up becoming very good friends with Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan and him, like, got super close. Like, it was this beautiful story of them always, like, interacting whenever they were at shows and things like that. And you really have to go watch the full story for yourself, because I can't do it justice, but they ended up giving him like a WrestleMania moment where all the superstars were around the ring and Triple H was in there, and he was like, hit me with a good shot. And Connor hit him and Triple H bumped for him and Connor pinned him. And they gave him like his own belt and like everything like that after that. And then, inducted him into a wing of the Hall of Fame that they created for him as well. And he sadly passed away years and years ago now. Like, this was 10 years ago that all this happened. But it was one of those things in wrestling that reminds you why the hell we love it so much. And like, what we're in it for. Because stories like that, that just change people's lives in those ways, are so worth it. They're really, really worth it for that. So Connor the Crusher comes in at number six.
Yeah, I just sent the Triple H match into the group chat, because it is amazing. There's a lot of good videos on it. Sad, but it is cool. you know, to top kind of the crusher, you know, not to take it, but he's not the only one that they do this sort of stuff for. They really make people, kids, feel special. And I think that's one of the coolest things you can do in a position of celebrity.
I could generalize it too to just everything they do for Make-A-Wish in general. How many wishes that John Cena has granted over the years, like him being the top wish granter. Yeah. As far as like celebrities, like still, like he takes the time and does that. It's a really nice collaboration of everything with them. I'm getting like emotional and choked up just thinking about it.
Understandably so, buddy. Understandably so.
I mean, it's kind of easy to do a Make-A-Wish when you can just tell people to tell the kid to like look at an empty spot in the room and go, he's over there. Right? You just can't see him. It's a saying.
I don't know what was worse, that or my AIDS comment.
Well, it's not 1986 anymore.
That's a good point.
That is true. That is true.
You know what? Maybe I meant that I hope that he gets like help, like AIDS.
Help. Help. Everyone could use some AIDS.
Oh, AIDES.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant. See, you guys, your mind went in the gutter.
Assistance.
He needed some assistance to stop spoiling movies for people.
I need some AIDS.
What a retcon that was. Okay, my number six is, well, especially right now where we're at, the way that WWE is booking shows and stuff, but more meaningful, I'm always going to call them pay-per-views, but they're called PLEs now, premium live events. I feel like there was a point in time where they just tried to shove everything on these shows, and a lot of it just was unnecessary. They're going to a pay-per-view is getting a 4 or 5 minute match for a feud that doesn't really need to, nobody ever asked for this match to happen or be this resolved. I know WrestleMania, they're going to load it up, and there's a lot for both nights, as it should be. But right now, at least the last couple of years, there are premium live events, there are pay-per-views, whatever you want to call them. It's a less is more kind of thing. You're getting 4 or 5 really good matches, high-profile matches that belong on something significant, and more often than not, the matches are worth it. Right. So it's upping the value. One, it's upping the value of watching the show. And behind from a behind the scenes perspective, it almost makes you want to work harder as a performer to make sure that your stuff gets on a PLE, that your stuff is interesting enough to be featured on a PLE or pay-per-view. So I think it's a win-win for the fans and for everybody behind the scenes. But less is definitely more when it comes to these events. And I think it's created some interesting, like Elimination Chamber, like what was it, a month ago or so? Like there was only 3 or 4, maybe 4 or 5 matches in all, but they meant something. Like they were really good. They gave them time to go the distance and be special. So I have to acknowledge that because I think that it's just a way, way better system than it was before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm really hoping that UFC goes that similar route at some point.
They do drag out some stuff. It is.
And the price is ridiculous.
Yeah. Like this
$90 for a pay-per-view every month. I'm not doing
F that. But it is funny because like they're taking the model that I shit on for years that Triller did with like 3 or 4 fights and they were all crap and they'd fill it in with bullshit, but WWE's doing it right. So if Triller didn't mess up, all right, they could have had this going for them. But no, they want to have mini concerts with washed up rappers and all sorts of stuff.
Talking about? They're doing great.
That last one I rented so bad.
That was one of my favorite nights ever.
That was a lot of fun. I think, was it the Askren one? I think it was the last one we did. Where I was like, I can't stay up another minute for this bullshit. And then they were pushing it, and then Askren got like knocked out in 30 seconds. And I'm like, damn, I'm glad we went home early.
So stupid.
Oh, man. So on your, what are they calling them now? They're not pay-per-views. They're
PLEs.
They call them PLEs because we're obviously not paying per view.
Yeah.
It's just better that way because I mean it just comes with the price of a streaming service. It's a hard habit to break. It's been a hard habit to break to not call them pay per views just because you've been doing it for 30 years.
But... That's what we've always known them as. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite has always been the Royal Rumble. Matt, I've told Matt this over and over, and Dan is well aware of it. And it was always close to my birthday, so it was an easy thing to sell to my parents of, hey, can I just get this? I want to watch, you know, for my birthday. I would like to have friends over. I can watch this. Or people invite me over even, like, hey, I'll get Royal Rumble and come on over for your birthday, mate. Okay, cool. But specifically for the Royal Rumble, one of my favorite things ever, and it still hits the same as it ever has. It's one of the few goosebump moments I still have, and that's the countdowns to the next wrestler coming in, listening to the crowd count down from 10, not knowing who it's going to be. Back in the day, you used to just wait because not only were you looking forward to your favorite wrestlers or who you thought had a chance to win, but also like randomness, just total randomness of people showing up. All the different twinks coming in were the best. I remember, I'll never forget that Royal Rumble where Doink and Dink and all this different ones. And like, what am I watching? I the countdowns just, and then the theme music hits. And then it's just like, some of them just, the roof blows off the place of just like how stoked people are to see him. I think Goldust was to bring him back again was another like huge pop where he had not been around, but he showed up for a Royal Rumble.
I remember that. Yeah.
And everyone went nuts because he's got such iconic music. Immediately, you know what that is.
So, oh, it's so good. It's seriously so like such an iconic, and the 24 karat productions popping up every time too. It's Shattered Dreams Productions, then 24 karat something else that they do, but there is gold involved with it.
Yeah, I will say this just to add to that. The Royal Rumble is a very special, unique show. And even when I wasn't watching wrestling full time, because I just had better things to do, Royal Rumble was like the start of it. Like, I'm going to come in. And even if I'm not, I don't know what happened for the last 9 months or whatever since WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble is when I start tuning in. It's really, the football was coming, football season's coming to an end. I'm going to watch Royal Rumble to WrestleMania pretty diehard, and then I might fall off again. But it's a nice, nice start to WrestleMania season. So I'm glad that you chose that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we're on to our top fives, right?
I can't believe we're here already. Yeah. So my number five, I am going to go with just general auras here. I think that the aura wrestler could have as far as the entrance, the gimmick, can be so cool and so powerful, whether it's meant to be or not. I think about right now, my favorite aura, in wrestling is Gunther. And he's been my favorite for a while, but he's just got that ring general of like, he walks out and he's got that immediate power. Like, he commands that respect. Like, you may not like him, but you have to respect him type of thing. And when Samantha Irvin was still doing the announcing, the way she was saying the Gunther, which is like, that was the best version anybody's done so far. But like you were just talking about with Goldust, Goldust had that aura immediately when he came out. There were all sorts of cool gimmicky things that people always had. Rey Mysterio always doing the pop out of the ramp with everything like that. And you just get that immediate feeling of what that person's here to do, like the arriving and raising hell. When I went to SummerSlam this year and Roman came back, and I'm looking around after everybody's losing their mind and the arena's just silent and everybody is holding one finger in the air respecting the tribal chief. It's the coolest thing when it comes to people sometimes. So those auras in wrestling are always unbelievable. It's what people dream of having when you get into the industry is having an aura like that. And it makes wrestling fun. So that comes in at my number five.
Dan, excellent. You see Matt pointing at me?
Well, did I do that right? Did I do this? Is what you're below me here on the video that we got going on. But as soon as you said Gunther, I was like, as soon as you said Gunther, I'm like, oh, there we go. Right. Brian's favorite.
He's so boring.
No, he's the pace style that people are missing now. It's too quick. He makes it nice and slow.
No one wants Andre Giant back. Nobody wants that.
He is a very nice throwback. Like if you like the older style of wrestling, the older pacing and pretty just straightforward, he's perfect. But I understand why people don't like him as well.
I get it.
You hear me say, Sol Roca's my favorite current wrestler, my boy Rob Van Dam. And then Dan goes, I really like Gunther's aura. I'm like, I hate his aura. I might respect it, but I don't like it.
when I had to train people, that's the method I taught them. It's like, you got to be slow. You got to be real. You got to tell the story with this. And he always is good about the storytelling in his matches. So that's something I really, really enjoy when it comes to him. But I get it. If you're just a casual fan and you're there to just watch wrestling and not to be there for that type of style, that's 100% okay. That's why wrestling is so brilliant.
He's decent on the mic, so I put up with him.
He talks some shit on the mic sometimes. Yeah. It's hilarious.
He's very good for a foreigner because a lot of and that's not like trying to be like racist or whatever, but like a lot of them come over and they just don't sound good on a microphone. It doesn't translate well. But Gunther really does a good job on a mic.
Yeah, he does.
I agree.
Yeah. Kenzo Suzuki did not translate to a mic very good in the day. Neither did Kali, and Kali is the worst example of all of them.
Who did Shane McMahon used to do the dub over?
Oh my God. What is their name, Matt? Funaki and
Kai and Tai. Kai and Tai.
Worry about being racist, Matt, because the WWE's got that cover back in the day. Jesus. This is when I go back and I watch and listen to some of this stuff. I'm like, good Lord.
Evildoers, we will thank you. Indeed.
Yeah, they really there was a line and the line was crossed many times over.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I saw the other day? I don't know if it was you I was talking about. I think it was on my other podcast. But I just saw a clip of Vince McMahon running into Sabu at some event when they did WWE CW. And he was like, I thought we were in Chicago. Apparently, we're in Afghanistan.
Oh,
and then he said something to the people he was with. He was like, look, boys, it's a member of the Taliban. I'm like, oh my God. Now they have that Saudi Arabia deal. How ironic is that?
Amazing.
It is ironic.
So bad.
At your number five.
All right. My number five, I have a couple favorite wrestlers that I love to tune in for. Because I think if you don't have any favorites, it's hard to watch sometimes. But there's three people that if I know they're going to be a part of something, then I'm going to watch it. CM Punk, who I'm excited for his comeback story, his road to redemption, the personal growth that he's made. LA Knight, who I just think is the most charismatic wrestler, and has been, even though he's champ right now, has been relatively mishandled. I think he has a lot more to offer. And Randy Orton, to me, I think I love Randy Orton. He's not talked about enough as like a goat, but he's been there for over 20 years now and has never left. He's had injuries, attitude stuff, but he's never left. Like Cena left for Hollywood, The Rock left, Hogan left, Austin retired, left. Orton's been a loyal guy. Almost like an Undertaker type loyal. I would say comparably to an Undertaker type loyal. And he's been a part of some great moments and whatnot. Like, he's still there. He's still going. I get really excited when I see him, and I'm excited to see what they do with him for WrestleMania, because obviously everything's kind of up in the air. But that's my number five.
100%, dude. And this is coming from a guy who did not watch him when he was in his prime. I think he's highly underappreciated for both being a stalwart, you know, like a superstar that helped carry the Shield of WWE for so long, as well as I think he's taken the most lumps and not had the highest of moments all the time.
Right.
Where he's been a good seller. You know what I mean? He's helped put other people over, and always, you know, for the brand. It's for the other guys in the business. I big time respect for that dude. Him and CM Punk. Now, I'm not shooting. I know you picked out three guys, and I'm not acknowledging all of Nate. But those three old school dudes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Big they're a nice throwback who have adapted to what we have today. You know, to the style today. So absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Gets tough here when you get into the top five, but I guess I'll put this here because I kind of think it ties in well to Matt's. And it's simple as them putting their bodies on the line and just what they will look like 20 years down the road when they are 60 years old and, you know, long past being in the spotlight, you know. I've said it about football. It's the same, if not even worse, because for WWE and professional wrestling, because they will one up themselves constantly, take higher risks. Maybe not as much now because they've dialed back on a lot of the crazy stuff that I was such a big fan of. You know, we're never going to see another Hell in a Cell. We're never going to see Shane McMahon be an absolute freaking. I don't even know what the word is. Complete lunatic for the stuff that he would do. For what? No one was buying Shane McMahon t-shirts all the time. Not like a Rock, not like a Stone Cold. Yet here he is 50 feet above a table jumping to his doom. You know,
not to mention he's the boss's son. Like, he didn't have to do any of that.
No. Just a complete love of the spectacle and the presentation and the gamesmanship, because that's really what it was. It's just for a while they were all trying to one up each other, and so putting their bodies on the line. And I explained it to my wife, who was complaining watching with us when Matt came over and we were watching Elimination Chamber, and she goes, "Why do you guys still watch? It's fake." I'm like, it's fixed staged outcomes with real consequences. Like,
yes, exactly.
These guys can get really hurt. It's not, it doesn't feel like nothing. No, that hurts when they get slammed onto that mat. They just get used to it.
Yeah. You know? I can attest to that.
That chair across the back, while it's not on the head anymore, that still hurts.
Yeah. You could, and even when it was to the head, you could get your hand up. That shit, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel that in the morning real bad.
Right.
Like, it's really bad.
Yeah. So much respect and love to the all the professionals that go out there and put on this show and put their bodies on the lines.
Absolutely.
Number four to Dan.
Number four. So I'm going to go with the overall, I'm going to call it the language here of wrestling. That all pro wrestling fans speak. Like, there's only certain things that as fans we understand that people say or do, right? Like, when I went to SummerSlam, I was this arena full of people all going, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, what does that mean anywhere else? What does that mean anywhere else to someone who's not watching wrestling? They're going, what are you talking about? Like, you're out of your mind. People look at you like you're crazy. The tribal chief ones in the air, like I was talking about before. If you're walking around with that, nobody knows what you're doing in public. Like, nobody will do that. But I can't, like, describe the language of wrestling any better than something I saw today on Instagram, where they showed a clip of Stone Cold drinking a beer with RVD before, like, he's gonna give him a stunner like he normally does, And he goes for the stunner and he misses, but RVD lays out like he hit it, and then he goes back and he hits him with another one. It said something like Stone Cold missed, but dude still took the bump, and just called RVD dude. And I was like, I need to look at the comments for my wrestling people. And the first one was, did you just call him dude? And then he just went, that's dot, dot, dot. And every single reply was somebody else putting a gif of RVD going, Rob, man, damn, because we all, like, that's something that is wrestling people is just a thing. Like, that's been a part of my whole life is doing that. And, like, that will always mean that to me. The same way when I see the juke, I'm always like, oh, that's a Jeff Hardy thing that people are doing right now. Like, there, it's just this language of everybody. My favorite thing from SummerSlam this past year was Seth Rollins coming out and everybody doing his theme song, and this kid in front of me going so hard doing his theme, like putting his whole body into it, conducting like he's leading everybody. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful language that we all speak. And I'm so glad that we just get the right groups of people to be able to speak that together. The language of pro wrestling is just a beautiful thing. And that's my number four.
Excellent. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. Wrestling fans just, they just know. They just know. You can almost spot one. You can bring up a catchphrase and they just gravitate towards it too. Yep. It's really cool.
Yeah. What?
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 It is amazing. All right, my number four. I'm gonna go because this is something that wasn't going on a few years ago, but titles mean something now, so I love it for that. Wrestling championships aren't hot potatoed around every couple weeks, once a month. Now you're starting to see longer title reigns again, which is amazing, and I think it's really good. And it's something I never thought I'd see again. But the fact that like Roman Reigns had a like 3+ year reign as champion, Cody Rhodes been a champion for a year, like that's good stuff. Like I think that makes the championships more meaningful now. Like, but 10 years ago, if a title changed hands, whatever, it doesn't mean anything because it'll just switch again in a couple weeks. But now, like holding that championship and being champion for, some of these guys, 6+ months. Gunther had the Intercontinental title for a very, very long time, almost 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Like, that is cool because now you're starting to wonder when are they going to get knocked off and who's going to be the one to do it. And that when people actually do win the championship, it means a lot more. It means so much more. When they do it. So yes, titles meaning something again. That is on my list. That's my number four.
Love that. Yeah, they didn't for a while, especially like there was some Attitude Era times for sure where like these titles were just being passed around and people were getting like one day reigns and like it was a lot. And I'm glad that there's legitimacy to these now because that's how real world titles are most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see a UFC guy win the title one show and then the next his first defense he drops it. That rarely
it's
ever
very
happens.
Rare. Yeah, it definitely happens at times, but like it's not a thing. Most people you're seeing one, two defenses out of at least, and then you have those ones like with what they just did with Roman, where it's like, oh, he's like 6-7 defenses in. Like this is kind of getting serious. Like he could be considered one of the GOATs. Like. It just adds that legitimacy. And I feel like they were afraid to do that for a while.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking forward to the triple threat match for the women's title because I want her to keep it. Was it Io Sky?
Io Sky, I want her to keep it.
I want her to keep it. Matt and I got to see her win it and completely unexpected. Like everybody's face, my boss was there and my phone buzzes immediately. I know who it is. And he goes, did that really just happen? Because no one would have thought that they would have let Rhea, the top five biggest stars, men or women, in the sport right now. And she lost it, you know, in such epic fashion on a Raw. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it happened. That's insane.
Yeah. Dude, great call, man. But I'm going to match Dan kind of in a way, and it's not – I'm not going to call it language. While I do like the language and how it brings a community together, but I love how you can just say something and it immediately ties you to a certain era or a certain superstar. Like, what? And do you smell? Or suck it? Or whatever. The catchphrases. I love a good catchphrase. And I think they've gotten better and better over the years. While maybe not as big as they were probably when I was watching in the late 90s, but a catchphrase as simple and dumb as yeet and works. And it sells merch, but I think it more than anything, it helps tie you to your favorite superstar in another way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As my number four.
Very good.
All right. Number three to four, Dan.
My number three. Let me see what it is. So I'm going to go with when the stories are good, they're great. We've had some toss-offs for sure as far as writing. In the past, like, you know, we have the whole Katie Vick angle and we have the whole... you know, the Mark Henry May Young baby hand thing that will always be a thing, and you know, just all these weird Santina when they did the women's battle royal and they couldn't have a woman win, they had to have Santino win. Sometimes the stories are bad, but man, when you write a good build up and you just have a good angle and you just let it cook, it can be awesome in wrestling. Like, we all know those stories that ended up really, really selling. Like, as weird as it was, Triple H marrying Stephanie McMahon and like it being like against her will, quote unquote, and then it turned out they were working together after a while and he became like a mega heel after that, which is a great one. When Eddie betrayed Rey Mysterio after WrestleMania 21, when people were like, will he or won't he, will he or won't he, and then he did, and he snapped in a big way when he did it. This past WrestleMania 40, when they finished the storyline and the bloodline storyline and everything like that, when they had all of those tie-ins and The Rock coming in and Taker coming in and all of those things. Man, when a story ends in a good way, you just feel really, really, really good. Kofi winning the title comes to mind too, when people were like just thinking it could never happen and then he did it. And like, even at the event, it was like, it's not going to happen. And then they put it on and it was like, oh my God, they gave it to him. Like, he did it. Like, he won. Like, those stories are worth being a fan for 100 times over. Yeah. And I could go into those all day. We could probably do a list of those things on its own of our favorite storylines that have ever been done. But that comes into my number.
I'm going to echo that, actually, as my number three. Because it is so intricate and better now. We're seeing a lot of long-term storylines play out. You mentioned the Cody Roman Reigns one. Right now we're seeing the CM Punk Seth Rollins one unfold. It's been, a year and a half since CM Punk came back at Survivor Series. And then even before that, the vitriol that was between those two. And also, too, I feel like there's a lot of options. It feels like a choose-your-own-adventure book all the time, every time you're watching wrestling. I remember going to the Royal Rumble last year. I think everybody really knew that Cody was going to win. But also, you could see a case for LA Knight winning the Royal Rumble and going on to face Roman at WrestleMania.
Punk,
you
too.
You could see Punk, yeah. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Like, there was a lot of, like, possibilities. Even though in your gut you knew it was going to be Cody, there was also, like, an argument for so many other things to happen. So just more intricate and long-term storytelling. I think it's it's done wonders for the wrestling product. So that's my number three.
Agreed. Agreed.
All that. My number three is going to be all the high-flying and ultra-athletic abilities of some of these guys. It's what's always kept me tied to the sport and wanting to watch. If it was all Hulk Hogan's and Andre the Giant's forever, I never would have stayed in. I couldn't. It's so slow. It needs to be. There needs to be a risk for me to be like risk of your own body, risk of the high botch ability. If I were to say, the more difficult. It's like watching. This is a weird analogy. It's like watching figure skating to me. And are you gonna go for the triple deek whatever thing, loop de loop? You know what I mean? It's the higher. The chance of you falling flat in your face and looking like a fool, the more I want to watch. And so when I watch Gunther boot a dude in the face, I'm like, it doesn't really take much to do that. I mean, anyone can do that. But then I watch, back in the day, like Rey Mysterio, do all the crazy stuff he does. It's just insane. So that's personal to me, but I respect everyone's opinion, unless you're a big Gunther fan, in which case you smell. Anyways, Dan, wow. You're number two?
Wow. Okay. I see you there.
This Brian's turning heel.
Don't be disrespecting the ring general, okay? Because he'll you have to answer to him and not
fair
at
enough.
The end of the day. I'm going to go with in general, it's going to be moves that make us go, oh, shit, like those types of things, like anything like RKO-ish, anything that has ever spoken out to you in your entire life as far as like good, legitimate ass moves.
Yeah.
I've had so many spots in the past where it's just blown my mind what they've been able to do with it. I was trying to think of some today that have really stood out, but even something like Lesnar and Big Show doing the superplex from the top of the ring and the ring collapsing for the first time, like that moment lives in infamy. Shane McMahon with all the crazy dives that you talked about in the past. His last man standing match with Kane is one of my favorite matches ever. Where at the end he just leaps off the set and just misses Kane. Like that's the end of the match. There's some wild stuff out there. There's been some really good transitions to moves. One of my favorites of all time will always be Undertaker going for the chokeslam at Randy Orton at WrestleMania 21 and Orton countering to the RKO from it, which I thought was one of the coolest transitions ever into a move like that. And it was one of the first instances of like the RKO out of nowhere aspect in Orton's case. But there's so much to love as far as those types of spots and those things that really just blow your mind. And I understand I'm a big high risk guy too. When it comes to those things, what I don't like is flippy shit to the point of, okay, I can't believe this anymore. Like you're just flipping around the ring. Like this is it. Like I can't take you seriously. Cause I would just Indiana Jones those guys most of the time. Like they'd be coming at me with four cartwheels and I'd just big boot them in the face as soon as they could touch the ground. Like you have to have some like believability of that. Again, nothing wrong with that. But those moves that make me go, oh shit. Like one thing I'll always love, like when I saw Billy Kidman do a shooting star press for the first time, I was like, oh shit. And then I saw somebody who really knew how to do it and I was like, oh shit, like that move's awesome. Like it's just one of those moves to me where it's just something as simple as like a reverse backflip, like a forward momentum backflip, but it can just blow your mind. So those things to me are awesome about the sport, and that's why it comes into my number two.
Excellent. All right, my number two, it's the music, and I know that for the most part, the music has been lacking lately, but there's a lot of ones that stand out. I have an entire playlist of any professional wrestling theme that I just, if I love it, if I gravitate towards it, I just add it. and I have it forever. But there are certain ones that I can listen to over and over and over again, and they get me hyped up. There's a wrestling theme for just about every mood. There's times like I'm walking around at work and I like play like a certain theme and I just kind of get in the zone. Like I feel like I'm walking down an entrance ramp. But I've been doing that for years. It's been great workout music. It's been great motivational music. And there are dozens upon dozens of themes that make me feel when I listen to them and think and remember. And yeah, there's so many. So wrestling themes, music, is easily my number two.
I'm matching you.
Yeah.
And I will say, Dan and I did a list on this. And I will say that I found myself enjoying some of this music more and more. And I do want to acknowledge the difference between the good entrance music for a wrestler as just their entrance and then the actual how good a song is. And yes, those tend to be the ones that stand out the most to me. And my favorite of all time was Chris Benoit's. It's from Our Lady of Peace, or one of my favorite bands of all time. And it kills me that has that.
Nick, can you choose a different word?
I know. Matt, you kidding? You can't do that, because I was about to say something about that, and I was like, no, God will send me straight to hell. You can't do that. You can't do that.
We have this open agreement, all right, for anyone that listens to Matt and I do a podcast. We're going to bring them up, and you're just going to have to deal with it, all right?
You don't have to bring up that specific.
Did you mean to say kills? Like, it just like
I didn't stray away from it.
I mean, no. I mean, obviously, I'm kidding, because I don't mind bringing up Benoit, but it was just funny. You're like, just like, yeah, kills.
Yeah, you know,
it kills me that I can't use it. I was going to say, yeah, I killed a couple other
people. It just grinds my gears.
I would never be that kind of a protagonist ever, or antagonist. I guess
antagonist.
So. Yeah, I love the corny ones. You know, I am a real American. Hulk Hogan's theme, I'll always love it, as corny as it is.
Yeah.
Man, I freaking out when he comes out for to that music at the restaurant while we just happen to pick the right one that day is always gonna be. What just goes to like how that mine and Matt's first live wrestling match together is like literally one of the most perfect days ever.
Yeah, what a memorable day. What a memorable day for that.
It was great.
You gotta have some stuff like that too. It was like after we got out of SummerSlam, we saw Wardlow at the bar. We were like, oh, weird. Like, what are you doing here?
It's amazing.
So
cool. All right, here we go. Our number one reason we still love wrestling.
Ooh, okay. So this is going to be a little bit of a rant. So my number one reason overall is the camaraderie. And that over the past year, it's become evident how much like the camaraderie and like just the bonding with people over both the fandom of it and over the business of it has just given me some of the best and the worst moments of my life over the years. Being a fan at like a Catholic school where not a lot of people are watching that and they're mostly watching like football, because they, you know, people with money don't tend to gravitate toward wrestling for some reason, but because I was poor, I was one of the people that really liked it. and I don't even mean it in that sense, but like it stuck out to me when it didn't for a lot of other people. And then when I got into high school, it was like it was crazy how much that changed. It was like a switch flipped and it became the total opposite when it came to that. Like all of a sudden I had all these friends who like, not only they like wrestling, they wrote their own storylines. They practiced how to do it. They were figuring out the business of it for themselves. Like it just, doing all that and just becoming best friends with these guys over this and learning how to do it from that and just seeing everything from people succeed to having a friend who can't walk again to having a friend who's friends who have passed, like several friends who have, like, I just see from this business that it's taken. And there's a brotherhood that just that you bond through that. There's a reason why you look at these people in the locker room after you go, I love you, brother, and they go, I love you too, because you don't know if that's the last time you're going to see someone in this business. And it's something that people truly don't understand unless you're a fan or unless you've lived it yourself. Like, you, there's a respect that comes with it when you know it. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful journey that we go on with each other, and we just accept that this is a crazy business that people who see it scripted and don't see more than that don't understand what the benefit is for people, but we do, and it's a beautiful thing. So the camaraderie of it in general is my number one, and it's a beautiful thing, and I am so glad that pro wrestling is a thing in my life.
Absolutely, buddy. Love you, pal.
Love you too, man. It wouldn't have brought me you.
That's 100% fact, my man.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have said it better myself. I think that's what I have with my number one too, is that camaraderie. Like, I never, if I so choose, I never ever have to watch pro wrestling by myself, which is the coolest thing. All right. If I'm available, I can go watch wrestling with Brian at Brian's house. If I'm available, Dan, I can come over to your house and watch it with you. You guys, if you're available, can come over my place and watch it with me. And there's so many other people that I can watch professional wrestling with. And, you know, for years, like, there's this stigma, and there's still a little bit of it, of just wrestling fans, all right? BO, butt cracks, and neck beards. And, like, that, when you hear pro wrestling fan, that's all you think about. But it's so much more than that. Like, I don't know. Even my dad, he doesn't watch it, but my love of wrestling stemmed through him. And, like, he'll still come over and watch it. My Uncle Rich, who doesn't watch wrestling at all, like, he'll come over and watch it. And there's literally dozens of people who I can watch wrestling with on any given day and have the time of my life. So I second that, the camaraderie, the connection with friends. That's my number one.
Excellent. I love that, man.
Great choices, but you're both wrong. It's got to be the women in lingerie. No, I'm kidding. No,
the
I'm
bra
kidding.
And panties matches. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right. I'm revising my list.
It's the puppies. No, number one is I, in all honesty, total jokes aside, number one is it gave me my podcast family. Without the love of wrestling and you guys getting into the local wrestling scene, I never know Dan. Not because of my tie to Dan through wrestling, but because of Dan's tie to Matt through wrestling. And I don't meet Matt, all right, because, and it's not because me and Matt share this bond over wrestling. It's because him and Kyle share this bond over wrestling.
Yeah.
And then their bond of wrestling led to football, which then brought in me. So it's a weird world, and I love it. Every wrestling person that you guys have introduced to me, that are friends of yours that I've met, have all been awesome. Will has become one of my favorite human beings. I think he's become one of my wife's favorite human beings.
Yes.
Will, our good friend Will Smith is easily one of the most likable dudes. And I love my podcast family, and I have wrestling to thank for it.
Absolutely. Will, for sure. You know, Brian, you know, introducing you to Rob Sweet, who's I'm going to his wedding at the end of June.
Awesome.
Like, that's like, it is. There's a lot. There's so much more. And it was only a matter of time before you came back around to professional wrestling, being around me. Being around us, excuse my ignorance. But
But being around you too.
Sure. You know what I mean? Like, there was only a matter of time. And I'm glad that you got to meet some of my favorite people through it. Speaking from my perspective, like, it, again, like Dan said, there's a lot of great people and there's a lot of just horrible,
oh, there's
egotistical
a lot of shit bags.
Bags of shit that have come through professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And you have met a lot of my favorite people. There's a lot more that I hope you get to meet, guys like Kevin Bennett, amongst many others. But there's a lot more good characters, good wholesome people that I'm excited that I hope I get to see you interact with someday. So.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so that is it. That is the end of our list of our reasons. We still love wrestling. It's still real to us, damn it. And you, the listeners, are still real to us. Thank you to the boys for being available to record with me today.
Absolutely.
I hate when we miss, but, you know, it's going to happen. We're going to be here as a three-headed monster to cover for each other.
Right.
In the meantime, you can follow our shows. We'll start with Dan.
You could follow Tea Times 3 on Spotify. Episode 5 will be out tonight. We are having a blast with it. We actually do our WrestleMania predictions for this card on this latest episode. And I finally announced it publicly, finally. I am finally doing a show over at Shade 710 next year. I'm doing A Few Good Men in June of 2026. I cannot wait for that. I've been sitting on that for like a month now. But I can't wait for that one. So book your tickets if you're local. The whole 710 lineup is actually great. So if you wanted to get the package deal, you get Dreamgirls, Mamma Mia, and A Few Good Men in that season package price.
Awesome.
So get your tickets for that. And I have one more that I'll be announcing as soon as I can announce it as well.
Happy for you, buddy.
Yes, yeah, well, I will be there. I will. I'm going to see you perform at Shays. I am
appreciate
so happy for you.
Appreciate it, man.
I guess I could plug next Eat Sleep List on YouTube, the multiverse of this show. Mondays, Mirrorless Monday, I use myself as a punching bag to teach life lessons and give people props and all sorts of fun stuff. Be reflective. On Fridays, Fun List Friday, pick a random pop culture topic, just like a lot of things that we do. On this show already, but this Friday is going to be the WrestleMania list with Listception. So I'm going to go over that, list my top 10 favorite WrestleManias. And of course, every Wednesday on the Nostalgia Funhouse YouTube channel, we are doing Retro Fantasy Football. Our episode this week dropped, and for next week, we're doing the drought era Buffalo Bills draft. So any player that's played for the Bills from 2000 to 2016, we can play as them in a Retro Fantasy Football format. We're recording it this Friday morning, which I cannot wait. Should be some good stuff, and it'll be out the following Wednesday, I believe. It's the 23rd, which, speaking of which, guys, I won't be here next week because that is my dad's birthday. So so it will drop next Wednesday, the 23rd, at 7 a.m. So
very good. And you can continue to follow me and my boys over on Crafting and Drafting, which is your biweekly draft and crafting beer show, and we'll be doing just all this on YouTube still, and anywhere you find your streaming podcasts. So what do you say, boys?
I think we did great.
I think we did too. Until next time,
do you even list
keep on drinking those beers.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.